Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful cares. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
Well, good evening. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Come in to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course this evening they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, fine, thank you. Glad to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back here. And these are exciting times we're living in. You know, the things that you've been talking about for so many years are beginning to come to pass.
Unfortunately, you're right.
In fact, people probably have read about the Bear Stearns. A couple of their hedge funds have gone under, but they're not hearing too much about the Union Bank of Switzerland has had to close down a hedge fund. Somebody named Braddock, another United Capital, has had to close down their hedge funds. How many hedge funds are running into trouble now here in this last few weeks?
Well, I think the UBS problem was a couple of months ago. And the Apollo Fund by Goldman Sachs went out of business. And then you mentioned United. And a brokerage firm in Los Angeles went under because one of their clients was invested in them and something went wrong, margin call or something. And so Brook Street Securities went out of business. But I think over time it's going to spread. And the reason why is that they have been marking their portfolios to a model, a computer model, and these collateralized debt obligations don't trade, really. Occasionally someone will sell some, but for all intents and purposes, nobody knows what they're worth. And Merrill Lynch held $800 million worth of the CDOs as collateral for the packages that they had lent money on to Bear Stearns. And so what happened was that they decided to sell that collateral and found that they only could draw bids for a $100 million and those bids were for 38 cents on the dollar. And so I think that we have just seen the beginning of the problem, and I think it's going to get substantially worse over the next few years in conjunction with the deterioration in the housing market. And so it doesn't look good at all, and I think it could become bad enough that I'll make a comparison. LTCM went under in 1998.
That's long-term capital management.
Right. And this is 20 times worse. I cover it extensively in tomorrow's issue. I've got a lot of information on it and, you know, what you should expect and where things are going and where they've been and so on. And I believe it could take down the financial system.
Well, of course, the Bank for International Settlements came out with a report a week or so ago suggesting that, that we were in real trouble financially and that the financial system was in real trouble. I know you're well acquainted with that report.
Yes.
We're going to be
and,
back.
And, you know, they're always after the fact. You know, we warned about this 3 years ago. We said this is exactly what's going to happen. You can't give loans to people who shouldn't be getting them.
All that, we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. And so they've been giving loans to people who shouldn't have them. The loans were not adequately secured. Now these loans are beginning to collapse. Certainly, the hedge funds are heavily leveraged and buying up a lot of these CDOs, these collateralized debt obligations that aren't worth what they're paying for them. Everything's built upon debt. Debt begins to contract, and then we begin to see the house of cards begin to tumble. That really is the way we're headed, isn't it? And yet, faced with that, we find that the stock market is up a couple of hundred points this week.
Well, the stock market goes up for reasons that have nothing to do with the realities of our financial health of our companies.
Well, tell me, how are our companies doing? Are a lot of these way overpriced as far as the stocks are concerned? What's the relationship between price and earnings of, you know, an average of our Dow Jones and other stocks?
Well, they're 21 times earnings, and 16 is reasonable. And last November, I projected earnings increases between 4 and 8%. And the experts said 13.5. The first quarter came in at 4.9%, so I was pretty close. And of course, the experts weren't even anywhere near close. And I believe that this continuum of relatively fair earnings is going to continue, and it's going to get worse. And so with that said, why is the market going up? Well, the market's going up because there's a sea of liquidity out there, mainly because the Japanese yen carry trade and the Swiss franc carry trade, which are about $1.5 trillion, which has augmented the increase in money and credit by both central banks and private interests. And you know, we're looking at enormous amounts of money, and it's pouring into stock markets throughout the world, and the United States stock market happens to be one of them.
And I was so interested that so much of the money going into the stock market is the hedge funds, it's the pension funds, it's not really so much the little investor, is it?
They make up about 9%.
9%, and the rest of it's
and,
all big money.
Of course, they're in funds, and that is not included in that 9%, and that's 401ks.
All that thought would be right.
Retirement back. And so on.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, we're talking about the stock market. The stock market's going up, but who's doing the investing? Well, it's the hedge funds, it's pension funds, and and Bob was saying about 9% of the investment in the stock market is just little guys, you know, it's not, but the average Joe, but that's not the person who's primarily investing in the stock market, driving the price up. Now, you know, one of the things that really got me this last week, I was reading that Delphi, which is a major parts producer for the automotive industry, the workers have agreed to take a 50% reduction in income. In other words, they were making a pretty good salary before with lots of benefits, and Delphi just said, you know, you either knuckle under or we're moving on, and they took a 50% cut in income. General Motors is asking for almost a 50%, about a 40% reduction for their employees, you know, with the threat, you know, you take it or sayonara. You're seeing the destruction of the middle class. Is that your take on it?
Absolutely, and it's free trade and globalization, which they started to put into gear in the 1960s, They were aided by the fiat dollar becoming fiat on August 15, 1971. Since then, for the American economy, it's been downhill, but since 1980, they've gone into serious planning to destroy the financial, the manufacturing infrastructure in the United States. And this is being done deliberately, and that's why Ford and General Motors and others started planning 25 years ago to do this. And the American public just does not get it. They must understand that their enemy is the United States government and corporate America. And it's hard for me to have to say something like that, but you have to look at it logically and truthfully. And that's where we're at. And they are going to continue to live like paupers, if that, for a long time to come. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse if we don't start setting up trade barriers. And we have to stop foreign nations and hedge funds and public equity groups from coming into the United States and absorbing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of companies and stripping them of their assets, selling them off, loading them up with debt, and leaving them to fall apart into pieces. And I was writing today for tomorrow's issue that Germany is doing what Japan, what France, Italy, and Spain have done for some time, and is they're going to pass legislation to stop it from happening in Germany. And now Canada and China are doing the same thing.
In other words, basically, what they're doing is passing
legislation. So, why shouldn't we do it if they're doing it?
Well, in other words, passing legislation so people can't come in and buy up their factories.
Well, it's more than that. What they're really interested in protecting is public infrastructure, telephone companies, and any kind of energy company, electric post offices, all of those kinds of things that people must have within a society. And some of the countries go further than that. They say you can't come in and buy anything. And so if everybody else is going to do it, I think we better do it darn fast. See, what's happening is that sovereign nations have these sovereign funds. And these funds right now are around $2 trillion, and they've gone out and invested that money in stocks and bonds and companies and so on and so forth throughout the world. And what they're essentially doing is diversifying their assets, but at the same time, they are also in a position to tell a country what to do about what they want to do. And with that financial control, large financial control, comes political control. And anybody who can see into the horizon sees that. And so you can't allow it. Now, what's going to happen to all the people who are owed debt, have dollars outside the country? They're just going to be in a problem, because I think that the United States government is going to have to renege on their debt. The only way they can play it is by taxing the American public. And the only way that the public will be convinced to take this taxation is to say that all the countries in the world are paying $6 a gallon for gasoline, and you're paying $3. So we're going to put $3 taxes on your gasoline and bring you up to the level of everybody else. We're going to take all that money and pay everybody off. That's the only alternative.
Well, of course, the thing is that one of the cleverest scams of all time would be to say to the Chinese and the Japanese, you know, you're holding, 700 billion dollars or $600 billion of American debt. We're not going to redeem it, and we can put exchange controls on. We can say you can't come in and buy anything here. Go ahead, sell it off if you want to. We're going to put on exchange controls, and those dollars cannot come back to the United States. Wouldn't that really, of course, make an awful lot of angry Chinese politicians and a lot of Japanese politicians? But there's no way we can ever pay off all that money that's out there circulating throughout the world without totally disrupting our economy.
Well, there's no way they can pay it off. And so with that said, the game is really over. They're going to have to renege on their debt. And that means the dollar will no longer be the world reserve currency, and that has a tremendous import because the U.S. has a leg up on everybody else. And I won't go into all the benefits, but they're enormous, having your currency as the world reserve currency. That will end.
Well, do you think they're going to come up with a new reserve currency, perhaps, rather than a national currency, an international currency?
Or do you think they could, and I've heard talk of it among the elitists, and they're talking about a gold-backed currency, whereas others are talking about the dollar and the Amero and the euro. And I don't think it's going to be the dollar if this happens.
No, I'm sure.
And I don't think the people are going to buy the Amero either. I think there's going to be absolute chaos financially and otherwise. It's just going to be dreadful.
Well, how soon do you think this is really going to become unraveled?
Well, we're in the process now. We have we're beginning to see a diminution in the amount of borrowing of that sea of money I talked about. Not too perceptible yet. The growth that I've been seeing is over 11% annualized, and I see the amount of increase dropping off, like from 11 to 10. And when it drops down to 4 or 5, we'll know it's getting serious. It will take a year to a year and a half, I feel, before it's really noticeable. At the same time, in order to offset that, what the Treasury and the Federal Reserve and other central banks have to do is pump up that money in credit even more than they have already. Now, they're running over 15% if you count in the private creation of money and credit, mostly credit in this case.
You're just speaking of M3 or what?
Pardon me?
Are you speaking of M3?
It's M3 plus what's created outside of M3. It's over 15%. They'll crank it up over 20%. That'll be the next step. And that will be done to offset the amount of money that's not being borrowed. They just flood the economies of the world with money and credit. And there'll come a time, probably a year and a half or so from now, that we'll have that drop in the usage of credit. Risk will back off. Those who are speculating, stock market will go down, interest rates will go higher, and as we evolve into this, as I said, they'll create more money in credit, and that will cause stagnation and inflation at the same time. Inflation's already 11%, so if they crank this thing up, we'll probably go 15-16%, maybe a lot higher. Who knows?
Yeah, it's being 15-16% interest rates, 15-16% inflation.
Inflation. The interest rates, I think, this year, we'll take the 10-year U.S. I think we're looking at 6.75. Five and three quarters, and it's 5.20 right now in round figures.
But of course, Paul Volcker back in 1980 ran that interest rate up higher than the inflation rate. He was trying to quell the inflation, and he did a good job of it. I'll give him credit.
Yeah, but you see, the avenues that were open to him are no longer open. We can't purge the system the way he did. We could do it in 88. We didn't do it. We had another boom, a real estate boom in particular, and that topped out in October of 1988, and 1989 was a very bad year in real estate, and that lasted for 4 or 5 years. In 1992, we had the classic opportunity to purge the system, and the elitists decided they didn't want to do that. And there's no way back. There's no way out. This will be worse than the 1930s, and you don't even want to know what's going to come along with it. And so you have to protect yourself as best you can under the circumstances, and you do that by getting out of debt, and if you have money, you buy gold and silver-related assets. But that's the way this whole thing is evolving. There's no stopping it.
All right. We'll
been no stopping it for 4 years.
We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Bob Chapman. Bob, is the Union Bank of Switzerland a pretty solid bank, do you think?
Well, it's one of the most...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
you know, it's just on and on and on. It just doesn't stop. And the American people put up with that. It's just, to me, it's absolutely astounding that people won't step up and talk, communicate with all of the people in Congress and let them know that we're being taken to the cleaners and we know it. And you've got to stop it. I mean, you're representing us. We can't continue to do this. We won't even have an economy left. I mean, we'll have an economy maybe like Paraguay. And don't laugh. It can happen. You know, I've been in countries where entire economies have collapsed. People don't know what it's like.
Well,
it's almost as bad as warfare.
Bob, the attitude is it can't happen here because, you know, it happens in other countries. It wouldn't happen here because the government wouldn't allow it.
Well, I get news for them. It can, it will, and it's going to.
And
you can take that to the bank.
And the thing is, of course, the thing is that our leaders have a different agenda because they have a different worldview. And it is Bob's contention that they intend to destroy our economy and impoverish our people so that the American people will be forced to go into a one-world government. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Absolutely. This is what they're after. They're going to come out with legislation shortly. The A-team, one of the A-teams, probably the super A-team for the Illuminati, has been in secret meetings over the last few months formulating the new security protective, whatever it's called, SPP, and for the new North American Union.
Right.
And that is going to be presented probably early in the fall. Their plan is for 2025. This is what they're talking about. And but I think their plan is for much sooner if they can do that. And they're going for legislation now. And they've got the big Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger, former Senator Sam Nunn, Cohen, who is the former senator or governor from Massachusetts, and these people are all Illuminists, and they're trying to get the public attuned to it, and they're also trying to harmonize regulations between the three countries. This is what they did in the European Common Market in EFTA, E-F-T-A, back in the 1950s and 60s, because I lived in Europe at the time. And I saw what was evolving and how they were doing it, and then, of course, it became eventually the European Union. But how they did that was by secretly and subtly harmonizing these regulations so most everything was the same so that they could bring in the euro as a currency. And quite frankly, what they should have done is got a constitution first and then got the currency. Now they got the currency and they don't have a constitution and now they want to shove one down the throats of the Europeans who don't want it. That's another story unto itself. I quite frankly think that in America and the rest of the world is going to have problems of equal magnitude. I think in America there'll be a revolution. I don't see any way around it unless the people who listen to this kind of a broadcast were able to convince people to kick 90% of the people out of Congress and put people in there who care about what happens to the American constituency. And if that doesn't happen, the game's over. And you better start oiling them up because you're going to need them.
Well, my concern is there's going to be tremendous unrest. I think one reason they want the large numbers of illegal Mexicans here is to create social discord and unrest, and they can play one group against the other. And they've got all these minority groups here in California, whether it be Hmong people or the, you know, the Vietnamese or the Chinese or the Spanish. They want a multi-ethnic, multicultural, a multilingual society, so they can play one group against the other. They know what they're doing. They have a different agenda. They have a different worldview. And because they worship a different God, we'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapin as we explore what the future holds. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapin, who's our resident financial expert and, of course, keeps us abreast of what's going on. Bob, did you see that report that came out of the Bank for International Settlements about a week ago?
About what?
About a week ago, this report out of the Bank for International Settlements.
Oh, yes, of course. And it's nothing that we haven't been writing about, and they're just verifying it. The IMS has been saying the same thing as well. See, what they're trying to do is cover themselves. If you don't have any opposition, you create it. That way you can control it. And they just tolerate people like me and you and probably 25 or 50 others in the United States and, who get on the airwaves and tell the people the truth. They're hoping we don't meet, you know, they're hoping we don't reach too many people if not too many people are listening. But I think that you are absolutely right about the illegal immigration problem. I think it's a stalking horse for the North American Union. I said that in my last issue and in issues before that. And they're trying to use it. The way I termed it was a lost leader. You know, get it out front. You know the public is going to vent their anger. Demand that it be defeated, which it was twice, and although they'd like it to be successful, but anyway, and now you have this enmity going on in the country, which reflects exactly what you were talking about, and that is the dichotomy of groups and so on. It's an extraordinarily dangerous situation, And it's going to have to be dealt with, and I'm afraid that we're not going to see anything approaching any kind of legislation. No, are we going to see a wall built, a barrier built along the border, because the people who run our country, both in Congress as well as in the executive branch, don't want that to happen because they want to amalgamate the countries. And so that's why they're doing what they're doing. As a matter of fact, you know, they're short of Border Patrol people, and they've been training them, and now they're starting to lose them. They're using Border Patrol people. They started with 20 of them, who make a lot more money by going to Iraq. And now they're going to have a lot of open...
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. I guess it's Bob Chapin. And before we go on, Bob, I'd like you to get your website out and tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster.
Well, the Forecaster is published by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays normally. And we have a copy that goes out in hard copy twice a month. And it's about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. If you'd like to go to our site on the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. Or, if you'd like a free introductory copy, you can go there or to our toll-free number, which is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. and we'll send you either an email copy or a hard copy immediately, if not sooner.
All right, fine. Well, certainly the gold and silver have been pretty well knocked down, aren't doing much of anything. People are beginning to lose interest because you would expect that certainly with the uncertainties in the world and so many of the reports coming out now, that and certainly the price of oil going up, that the price of gold and silver are going up, and yet they certainly have knocked it down. The gold, what, 650, 3 or 4, and silver actually way down to in the 1250 range. Really down considerably from where it was. They're just sort of sitting there. They've been sitting there for really for a matter of many months.
Well, the central banks continue to sell their gold. How much they have left, nobody knows. I think it's about 5,000 tons, and that's not a lot. They sold 181 tons in a 10-week period just recently. They also are in the derivatives market, and they're also in other aspects of the markets with other banks who they guarantee against loss, of course, and the Fed does the same thing. This week we had a very important event. Number one, Newmont Mining covered all of their hedge book. A hedge book is when you sell gold forward for delivery at a later date, and what happens is the gold gets sold immediately into the market, suppressing the prices from going on for years. And now, over the past 2 to 3 years, mining companies that produce gold have been cutting back on their hedge book by either delivering into the contracts the gold, or they're buying their contracts out. And so Newmont did that. It's one of the biggest mining companies in the world, if not the biggest. And that's very significant. The other thing is that the major producing gold stocks had been under pressure for some time. It's lasted about a year. And in this last week, they've all turned and started to go up. They've started to go up in volume and in a way that would not be expected. And that usually is a precursor to a major move in not only in the producing stocks to new highs, but also in the bullion market. I think that in the last 3 months, the central banks, particularly the U.S. Treasury and our Federal Reserve, have really given it their best shot, and they got stopped. Their offensive was just stopped cold. If you'd done that a year before, you would have seen gold drop from 700 to 550. It didn't happen this time. It lost $30 or $40. There's tremendous physical offtake in the gold market. By any yardstick that you can use, if you go back, you'll find if you compare gold's price today with 1980 and add in inflation, you're looking at $2,200 to $2,500 an ounce just to get even. So going to that level is a given. Now, gold's in the 650s right now. John Williams, who's an excellent economist, does a lot more research than even I do because he has a large staff. He believes it's 5,000, and others do as well. Could be, could very well be. And what's going to happen with the stock market going down, bonds going down, interest rates going up, and the only games in town for those with money who are gamblers is going to be commodities and gold and silver. And the public in the United States and Canada and England and in Europe, for all intents and purposes, are totally out of the market, have no interest, don't understand it. I mean, anybody under 55 does not have a clue because they didn't live through 1980. unless they were very, very studious at that time. I said this on another program with Drew Raines. He said, well, gee, I was 25 at that time, and I didn't know anything about that. So that just goes to show you. So there's going to have to be an educational process, and it's not going to take very long, because when people are looking at gasoline at $6 a gallon or eggs at $10 a dozen, they're going to catch on real fast, because the money's not going to be worth very much. It'll be Weimarized, and they're going to be looking for things to put what money that they have into. They want to get rid of dollars, and they'll go to gold. They'll find out about it, and it'll happen very quickly, and all of a sudden the prices will be there, and stocks like Agnico Eagle are closed around $40 today. Will be $500. It happened before. It'll happen again. And you'll see stocks that are selling for a dollar selling for 50. And you'll see coins that are selling for $500 selling for $5,000 or $10,000. And don't laugh. It's happened before. I've been there. This is my 48th year. And this avenue, this mode of study, and my vocation for all those years has been in these markets. And so I know what's going to happen.
Well, Bobby, you know, if they could just limit to the United States, they'd have much better control. But what's China doing as far as gold? What's Russia doing as far as gold? What is India doing? Are they really buying gold? Are the people in those countries buying gold, you know, physical possession of gold?
They can't buy it fast enough. India owns 25 to 30% of all the gold ever mined in the world. And every year they buy 25% of total gold production. And things are getting better and better in India, and they're buying more and more. And now they have a rainy season right now for planting. And the monsoons are going to be perfect this year, which means that the farmers are going to come in with a perfect crop. And they're going to have a lot of money to buy gold. And at the other end of the economy, manufacturing and services are doing very well. And I expect them at least for the next year to do so. So tremendous offtake. The Middle East, you've got political problems. You've got not only Iraq and Afghanistan and now Pakistan, but you have the Shias against the Sunnis, and you have all these other sects in between, and you have the Kurd thing, everybody take a jump, and you have the Turks, now we're starting to act up, they want to exterminate the Kurds, and Israel wants to go in and kill everybody they can get their hands on. It's just absolute madness, so you can understand why people do not want to purchase anything other than gold in those countries, because it is the only way that they can protect themselves.
Well, are the people in Israel buying any gold, or is there some of the people over there then in the Near East purchasing gold?
I don't know. I would assume, perhaps. I would assume, probably. I was on a program today, earlier in the day, over the Internet, and they had a U.S. Marine who's stationed in Vladivostok, and he's on a ship that docked in Vladivostok, and what do they call the ship? The Iron Hammer. I forget the name of it, but anyway, he was emailing from a pawnbroker, and the pawnbroker went on to say that, yeah, the ruble's great now, but everybody wants to get rid of dollars and they want gold. And so that's why they keep the pawn shop open 24 hours a day, hoping that, you know, people will want to trade in something that they have, hopefully, in gold, so that they can go out and drink or buy things or whatever they want to do. And so it was an interesting email exchange, I guess we'd call it. And I talked about Russia, and he came back and said, you're absolutely right, you know, about the things we were talking about. Russia's doing extraordinarily well, and their inflation is high in St. Pete and also in Moscow. In fact, Moscow is the most expensive city in the world right now. And that's because so much money's been made. It's a tremendous amount of wealth has been accumulated by a large number of people, not just those ex-oligarchs that Putin effectively threw out of the country and took their assets and gave them back to the state. And I won't go into that because we'll just call it the rape of Russia after the Soviet Union went down by the Yeltsin crime family, the Rothschilds, and a whole bunch of others.
Well, is Russia itself, in other words, is central bank laying in any gold? Do we have any idea?
Well, they have the third largest. Now, mind you, they were bankrupt in 1998 and get a loan from the Paris group of banks. First of all, the loan's been paid back early, and they get penalized for paying it back early. That's number one. Number two, their foreign reserves are the third highest in the world. Now, that is $406 billion in foreign exchange as well as gold. And what the percentage of gold is, I can't say at this moment, but they're accumulating it.
And the thing is, if other countries begin accumulating large amounts of gold, there's not that much gold out there to accumulate. And it would then that would really tend to drive the price up.
Well, the central banks will sell until they don't have any more. And then after the public finds out in each and every one of these countries what they've done, they're going to take them all out and guillotine them, just like they did in France. And mark my words, this is what's going to happen. Now, people are going to go berserk.
Well, of course, it is the obligation, the fiscal obligation of the Federal Reserve System to avoid inflation and to give a stable currency, and they, of course, intentionally and purposely fail to carry out their obligation, I think they should be put in prison. I mean, that was what they were hired to do. They have stolen the wealth of not only of this generation, but of generations yet unborn. And they, instead of pointing out what's going on and demanding that the government act correctly, they have simply gone right along with the whole system.
I think that when we get into this depression, which will be about 4 years from now, we'll be right into it. I think that the cry for the Federal Reserve to be disbanded will be a war cry, and they will be disbanded. I think the insiders are going to lose the Federal Reserve. And if they try to stop the American people from getting rid of it, they're liable to end up at the end of a rope. It's not going to be nice. You're going to have the same reaction that you had in revolutionary France. I mean, this is how heinous this is. This is how bad what the thing that they have done is so bad. It's beyond comprehension for most of these people. And when they discover what's been done to them, let's say since the Second World War, they're just going to, you know, their houses are going to be gone. Their cars will be gone. They'll have no way to work. They'll have no food. Their children are going to be screaming, you know, I want food. People are going to be shooting each other. It is going to be awful.
What you're really describing is a situation of anarchy in America. But don't you worry, of course, the government...
I think it's going to come. I can't see any other way that it's going to go unless we were to get Ron Paul elected and we cleaned out the House and the Senate.
Well, because
if that happened, we got a shot at it. If we do away with free trade and globalization and start taxing these companies that are exporting into the United States, that would help as well. So if all those things happen, and that's not many, but it's powerful, we can save the country. Otherwise, you can kiss it goodbye.
Well, I don't, Bob, don't you think, though, that they're two steps ahead of us? Certainly, the legislation that George Bush has put in, the presidential directives, the new presidential directives, the Military Commission Act that John Warner, Defense Appropriation Act, the building of the concentration camps, they're ready for a military dictatorship in America. Certainly, they've been planning this for a long time. Everything is in place. If they're not planning on putting people in concentration camps, why have they appropriated all that money to build it? And why are they paying Halliburton $385 million a year to stand by to be prepared to build the concentration camps. Why are they rehabilitating the Japanese concentration camps from World War II? I think they're two steps ahead of us. They know there's going to be political unrest, and they're prepared to act on it.
Well, you're right, and they are preparing for it, but Americans are going to have a choice. Those who have spoken up, like you and I, will be liquidated if we don't fight back, if we don't go underground, if we don't become insurgents. We don't have any choice. And then as we go along, anybody who says, well, I think the government's wrong, they'll be included with us, and they won't have any choice. So you're either going to live in your knees or go down fighting, and I'd rather go down fighting.
All right, fine.
Even at my advanced age.
Well, you're about my same age as I am, for that matter. Anyway, of course, I think that we need to get people to understand what is at stake. There really are people in Washington, D.C. who want a dictatorship, who have been planning to destabilize our currency and our society for a long time. They've been working to bring about a multicultural, multilingual, society, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they know out of this they'll be able to create political instability. But don't you worry, they have everything in place to destroy the very foundation of freedom in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Our guest has been Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Bob, one more time, your telephone number?
800-375-4188.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. All right, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap things up for us. How soon do you think the price of gold and silver are going to move? Do you think it'll be this year or sometime next year?
Oh, I think a move in gold and the shares and all of the entire sector is about to begin. And that the formation, it might move up slowly through the summer. And after that, I think it'll move up very, very strongly. And I think people are going to be surprised. People are going to start asking questions. Why is this happening? And at the same time, we'll see continued softness in the stock market. And then the next step is that the stock market will go down, probably in a big way in September and October. And that'll be it. Gold will take off. The Fed will continue to monetize and print tremendous amount of assets in order to stem this tide that they've created, and it's not going to work, and they won't be able to hold it up any longer, and the whole thing will just come apart.
Well, it's going to be exciting and tragic, really. All we can do is try to warn people. And right now, Chris, I think Bob tells people, get out of debt, put your money into fixed assets where they will at least have some anchor to hold their value, and then just batten down the hatches. Would that be in essence what you're saying?
Absolutely. And try to get rid of credit card revolving debt, your debt in your vehicles. If one of you become unemployed, maybe you'll be able to keep up your house payments. It's going to be very difficult. It's difficult now. It's going to be far more difficult. Inflation's going to be raging. It's already over 11%. You're looking easily at 15 to 20% if it happens the way I think the Fed and the U.S. Treasury are going to be forced to go. And, you know, just think about each dollar after taxes, 20% is going for inflation. That's tremendous. I mean, that's, you know, something you'd buy for $2 would become $2.40. And, of course, that thing you're buying for $2 cost a dollar about 5 years ago. People are not making the increases in wages and salaries to offset that inflation. And, you know, they had a big bond conference in Monaco this week, and the top guy got back 5% on conservative bond investments. You know, what good is that when the inflation is 11%?
Amen to that. Well, Bob, I guess it's been Bob Chapman. We'll look forward to having him back with us in a couple of weeks. Hey, thanks so much, Bob. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, always enjoy having Bob with us, and certainly I hope you do as well. Anyway, of course, we're in real trouble, and certainly I think Bob has a lot of great information. I look forward to reading the International Forecaster every single week. Actually, we get it twice a week, so certainly I think you will as well. Anyway, under any circumstances, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is an early warning program. We're trying to warn you what is coming down the line. If you're interested in helping us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We think we're in for some very difficult times. We hope that people are laying in emergency food stores, laying in supplies of medicines, learning about how to look after themselves, and in difficult times. Yeah, we carry books like, Don't Get Caught With Your Pantry Down, Making the Best of Basics, books really on preparation. If you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We try to get people to understand the spiritual aspect of what's going on. And, of course, that would be my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness. The Forbidden Secret, and we really think that's a very important talk. The the four tape sets, either CD or four tapes, and that's called The Secret Behind the Secret. Certainly Chris Pinto's excellent video, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, going into the secret societies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really were secret societies here in the United States back in the 1600s, and many of those secret societies remain here today. They called themselves the Rosicrucians at that time. If you were to look at the video that's being circulated now as a DVD called The Secret, and you were to freeze the frames, you would actually see there subliminally on the screen Rosicrucian. In other words, what the secret is really applied Rosicrucian belief, an ancient mystical belief that man can become God. And he does that, of course, becoming part and parcel of the true God of this world, because they believe that there are two gods. There's a God that the Christians worship, the Jews worship, and then there's a real God, the one who's really most powerful, and that's Lucifer. And you say that's crazy talk? Well, you and I may think it's crazy. We may think there's one God, but they believe there are two, and you can actually get in touch with that other force through channeling. And what you're really doing is you begin to get into the background of all of this is to learn how to get in contact with demonic beings. That's what the Rosicrucian faith is, and unfortunately millions of Americans are getting involved in this. So if you'd like more information, I remember our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And of course, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You want to get the various things that we've talked about. You'll certainly want to tell others about what's really going on, and understand that there have always been powerful spiritual forces at work in the world, but never to the degree they are today, and never in the United States to the degree that they are today. And so we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. We'll be back in just a moment, hopefully, for the next hour. Until then, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And this evening, our guest is to be Ralph Epperson. And we seem to have gotten the wrong number for him. We're going to try to track him down, because Ralph's always an interesting guest. Our regularly scheduled guest has had a family emergency, wasn't able to be with us. So Ralph will be with us hopefully before long, and we're going to be talking about masonry. But to really understand modern-day masonry and the secret society that it represents, you must understand the history of the mystery religions, because the Masonic religion is simply the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions, and most people have never even heard of the mystery religions and have no idea what they represent. But they really go back 5,000 years. They go back to the time of Nimrod. And you remember Nimrod, he was the great hunter who wanted to unite the world and build the Tower of Babel. And, of course, he tried to build this tower so high that if there was another flood, the people would be able to get up to the top of it, and, of course, they could defy God. And were well along the way to constructing this tower, the people of all the world under Nimrod's control, and God was displeased, and he intervened, and he gave them all different languages, so that people began to babble, as it were. They couldn't understand one another, and then they began to go in different directions. And this is, of course, where civilization began, because this was sometime not too long after the flood of Noah. Well, anyway, of course, there's always been this desire to unite the world again. And if you were to go into Europe today, you will find many, many posters there that depict the unfinished Tower of Babel. And, of course, if you were to go to Strasbourg, you will find there a building that is constructed, that is actually constructed as a to simulate the unfinished Tower of Babel. It is the place where the European Parliament and the bureaucracy for the European Parliament sits, and occasionally the Parliament itself will sit there, because the European Union is the fulfillment of that age-old dream of uniting the nations of Europe as a prelude to uniting the nations of the world. And we have Denny Diedrich with us. We're going to be just make a public service announcement. Go ahead, Denny.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
Fine. Would you like to tell our listeners about the meeting tomorrow?
Okay. Just in time for the Live Earth opening for the environmentalists, our church, Church of the King, Scotts Valley, at Bethany University, is putting on a global warming symposium tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the UCSC Inn on Ocean Street. The subtitle of this...
All right. Basically, I'm going to let Denny hang on here, because that's all right. People will be able to hear that locally here. So go ahead. It's going to be on Ocean Street, and tell us more about it.
Okay. The subtitle to this is A Christian Assessment and Response to Global Warming. And there's going to be a guest speaker, Dr. Rick Oliver. He has a PhD in evolutionary biology, and he's a Christian, but will be examining some of the claims for global warming and what it really is. There's going to be two videos shown. One is Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, and then kind of a rebuttal to that will be a BBC production called The Great Global Warming Swindle. And I think this will be an interesting time for discussion and learning some things about really what's going on concerning global warming. And if people in your audience probably already know the whole scoop on it, but maybe if they'd like to bring some friends to hear some lectures and discussion about it, it'd be a good time.
All right, fine. Should be interesting. You'll actually, I'm sure, hear both sides. You'll hear Al Gore's side. You'll hear the people on the other side. So if you're a pro-global warming or you're anti-global warming, in other words, you think that this whole thing is a scam, as I do, I think you should go. If you favor it, you can go and cheer for Al Gore. And I think you can have a wonderful discussion. I'm so glad that your church is actually putting that on. I wish more churches were doing things like this to help educate the public, because if the people who are pushing the Kyoto Protocol are successful, it will destroy the infrastructure of our society, impoverish our people, and set our living standards back 100 years.
That's right.
God bless. Thank you very much, Denny.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye, God. Bye. Okay, that was Denny Diedrich, and now let's get to our special guest this evening, who is Ralph Everson, and certainly we were talking about this, what's going on in Europe, where they actually have reconstituted the incomplete or unfinished Tower of Babel, and they've actually constructed it in Strasbourg as the home, as the meeting place of the European Parliament. And that is really what it's all about. It's a worldwide effort to unite the world, to do away with individual freedom, to bring about a new world religion, and to bring about that a world leader. The prototype of Nimrod will be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was just simply saying that there has been a plan. It's 5,000 years old. It is a plan to create a world government, a world religion, a world leader. And this was the plan of the ancient mystery religions. And, of course, the other thing about the ancient mystery religions is you could learn how to tap into the other dimension and get tremendous knowledge and power and rewards for giving yourself over to the other side. Because there is another dimension, and the secret of Rosicrucianism and Gnosticism and the Kabbalah and the Templars and, yes, even of the modern-day mystics, is you can contact the other dimension. But, of course, the average Mason has no idea what this is all about. The Mason, of course, honestly believes that he's just part of a fraternity that's made up of men who want to have a good time and do good. But they do not understand that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. An outer fraternity of men involved in public service, but an inner fraternity of men who are studying the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, and of course that means the secret and the secret of secrets, or as I refer to, the forbidden secret. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our telephone number, 464-8295, if you'd like to call in. And our guest this evening is a good friend and really one of the most knowledgeable people in the country on Masonry, Ralph Everson. Hi, Ralph. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Well, look, why didn't you... Now, you actually were on, was it the Discovery Channel or the History Channel?
On the History Channel, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, tell us a little bit about what happened when you were invited to go on there and appear. What were you talking about, Masonry?
Well, it was talking about the Great Seal of the United States on the back of our dollar bill, and it was the program was called The Symbols of the Dollar Bill, and, of course, I was invited to give the other side. They had the official government position and the Masonic position, and I was to present the truth. So I presented the truth that those things are all Masonic. The Masons were denying it, but I was there to expose the symbols as being Masonic. Our founding fathers were in the main Masons, and they were the ones that created the Great Seal of the United States in 1782.
All right, fine. And so, basically, then, who did they have from the Masonic side, do you recall?
No, it was a third 33rd degree Mason. He's
And he denied that the emblem on the back of the dollar bill is Masonic?
Yeah, he did not say that. He would not say that, no.
Well, what would he say about the emblem on the dollar bill?
He doesn't have an explanation. It's just that it's the eye is the eye of the providence, and the annuit septus means he has looked with favor upon our undertakings, and the new Novus Ordo Seclorum means new order of the ages, and that's the official position, as well as the position of the Masons, and it's simply not true.
Well, but isn't that what those phrases mean? I mean, they certainly deny it's Masonic. It's not being forthright because most Masonic writings until recently always lay claim to that emblem on the back of the dollar bill as being Masonic.
Well, yeah, they might claim it's Masonic, but they don't believe that it says what I believe it says, and that is that this nation was committed to the New World Order by our founding fathers, and the New World Order is a new civilization around a worship of Lucifer, Satan, the devil.
Right.
That's what it means, and that's what the Novus Ordo Seclorum in the bottom means, new order of the world, new world order.
No, but the Mason is never going to admit publicly that they worship Lucifer. I mean, that would be really be too far out, even though that there is a small inner core that understands. And basically, that is because this is Gnosticism, modern-day Gnosticism, and the Gnostics did believe in another God, and they believed that their God was superior to the God we worshipped. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that's true. The Masons have a square in the compass, and oftentimes you'll see that the two symbols, when one's on top of the other, has a space in the center, and that space is occupied by the letter G. And they'll tell you it stands for God or geometry or government or goodness or whatever, but it doesn't. It stands for Gnosis, and as you just pointed out, Gnosis is wisdom. They worship reason, man's mind. They want to be free to make their own decisions in all areas, which means they believe that morality is wrong. No man, no government has the right to tell you what you can believe or think. They want complete liberty. That's the difference between the word liberty and the word freedom. Freedom means acting responsibly. Liberty means acting irresponsibly if you choose.
And, of course, this whole thing really, at least in my studying and reading Albert Pike, it goes back in many ways to Gnosticism. Of course, I think it was back a lot further than that. But at least Albert Pike acknowledges that Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions, and certainly one of those in about the first and second century here was Gnosticism. And the average American has no idea even what Gnosticism is, much less what Masonry is.
That's correct. It might be interesting to mention briefly the 33rd degree northern latitude, because that has a bearing on the ancient mystery religion that you're referring to. The equator is zero, and it runs, of course, around the midsection of the Earth. And then as you go north, you have other latitudes from zero up to 90, and then on the way south, you have zero to 90 as well. So the 33rd degree is the 33rd round circle above the equator. Of course, it's all arbitrary, but not arbitrary. I mean, it's not official. There's no line except drawn by man. But the 33rd degree northern latitude plays a significant role in the Masonic literature. That's where in Charleston, South Carolina, where it goes over, that's where the Masons formed their first 33rd degree council. And as an aside, the next thing that might be of some interest is that it goes directly over Hope, Arkansas, where Bill Clinton was born. And I think when Bill Clinton found out how significant it is, I believe that Bill Clinton believed that he was meant to become president, because only a few people have ever been born underneath the 33rd degree that had the political ambition like Bill did. So I think Bill felt he was meant to be president because he was born under the 33rd degree northern latitude.
But then
it goes over Dallas, where the Masons were directly involved with the assassination of John Kennedy on November the 22nd, November the 11th month, plus 22 the number of days is 33. Then it goes over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where we dropped our first atomic bombs when Japan was trying to surrender. And the man who dropped those bombs was Harry Truman. He was the 33rd president of the United States. And after he dropped those two bombs on Christians, Hiroshima and Nagasaki had the highest concentration of Christians in Japan. He was elevated to the 33rd degree. But the last one that's important is that the 33rd degree northern latitude goes right over Babylon, the home of the ancient mystery religion. And that's why the Masons draw the line and plan events and circumstances underneath that line.
Well, that's a very interesting conjecture. Is that written up any place, or is that more or less your interpretation?
Of what?
All the things there. You know,
oh, no. Well, it's a matter of history. You know, you could argue that the first time I found it was in the Masonic literature, where they talked about where they created their first 33rd degree northern, southern jurisdiction 33rd degree temple in Charleston, South Carolina. And by the way, that's where the first battle of the Civil War was fought, when the southern troops fired on Fort Sumter in the port of Charleston, South Carolina. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? And then, of course, it goes over Dallas, and there's no question that the Dealey Plaza has an obelisk there. It's a favorite symbol of the Masons. The obelisk has 12 locks on it, and then on top is the flame. The 13th would be the flame or the light or the torch. John Kennedy, when he was drove by within about 15 feet of that obelisk, and then you turned the corner and went down the street, and he was shot in the at the base of that obelisk is a plaque commemorating Dealey Plaza as the site of the first fraternal lodge in Texas. And when they say fraternal, they mean Masons. It's my opinion. The state flag was designed by a Mason. All of the men who fought at the Alamo on the side of the United States, or in Texas, if you will, were all Masons, 130-some of them. They all died. Houston and Austin were both Masons, and then, of course, they named their cities after them. So then it goes over the November 22nd was, by coincidence, the 11th month plus the 22nd day for 33, and then over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I've got articles in my files showing that even the Associated Press admitted that Nagasaki had the highest concentration of Christians in it, and then it goes over Babylon. That's a matter of just documentation. You can prove that with a straight line. It goes over Babylon.
Well, it's a fascinating amount of information there, and certainly these people many times do put a lot of credence in certainly these universalities, and certainly they really believe in numerology. They believe in astrology. They believe that there is another God. This is the incredible thing. And the fact that the average Mason has no idea what the real religious implications of so much of Masonry, and the historical implications, and the relationship between modern-day Masonry and the ancient mystery religions. That, of course, is the key. And this is, of course, one of the things that I know Ralph has looked into. We've certainly tried to bring this out, and it's brought out in a number of things today. It's interesting. Now the other side tried to say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about for mystery religions. Well, I guess this evening is Ralph Epperson. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, anyway, because we started out talking about when Ralph was on the History Club channel, and they were talking about the background of the Great Seal of the United States. And, of course, the Masons certainly are trying to play down the Masonic influence, in the Great Seal, and yet historically we know that they played a very important part, not only in designing the Great Seal, but in designing the architecture of our nation's capital. And, of course, that architecture reflects of the secret destiny of America, because America was to lead the whole world into a world government. I think that's so important, and that's exactly what is going on today. America has an empire. We certainly have our troops stationed all throughout the world. We are the mightiest nation in the world, and the major thrust of American policy is the United Nations globalism bringing about a world government. Would you agree with that, Ralph?
Yeah, I do indeed, Dr. Stan. That's where we're going. That's what the new world... Well, it's more than just a world government. It's a complete new civilization. There'll be no more private property, no more family, no more freedom, no more worship, no more houses, no more grandma and grandpa, no more aunts and uncles. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. That's what they want. It's in their own literature. I remember reading Marx's Communist Manifesto way back in probably the 70s, and I couldn't understand, why would he attack the family? Why would he attack private property? Why would he attack nationalism, worship, religion? And suddenly it dawned on me, that's where we're going. That's what they want. They want to abolish private property, family, religion, etc. And that's what it is, that the new civilization, the new world order, is exactly that. It's going to change all those things.
And, of course, the thing is that, first of all, they have to have complete control of the United States. And, of course, there's one enemy here that really stands in the way of their having complete control was Christianity. And that is why they set out to destroy Christianity and to infiltrate the Christian church, to undermine the basic tenets of the Christian church. And I really personally believe that George Bush was certainly put in the presidency to discredit Christianity. And certainly the tragedy is, I think he's done a very, very good job. As people see what's happening in the Near East and the Middle East, as the people read about Abu Ghraib, as the people read about torture and certainly kidnapping people all over the world and torturing them, and then denying that they're torturing him. And people say, if that's Christianity, I shouldn't have wanted anything to do with it. And I think that what really disturbs me, and you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to keep saying it until we get some sort of response from the leaders of the Christian church in America. The Christian leaders are not speaking out against torture. And how you can, under any circumstances, certainly excuse torture under the name, well, Saddam Hussein was a terrible guy, or look what Al-Qaeda is doing. We're not Al-Qaeda. We're not led by Saddam Hussein. We're Americans, and we should never tolerate things that dishonor our Lord. We'll be right back. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Ralph Epperson, and certainly Ralph is one of the world's leading experts on masonry. If you're out there across our land and you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think one of the great tragedies of today is that there are about 2 million Masons in America. And I dare say that 95% of them have no idea what Masonry is really all about. How do you feel about that statement?
Absolutely correct, Dr. Stan. In fact, many people claim that, including the Masons, claim that it's a Christian, I won't say religion, but a Christian-based organization. And I can prove that very simply is not true. I want to read, just from memory, a quote. I think it's in Magnum Opus. It's in Legenda. Albert Pike says, to believe that the universe was created out of nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. So the universe has always been here. There was no beginning, no creation. That's what Albert Pike said. Now, the Bible teaches, in the first 10 words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a beginning, there was a creation. Now, further in the Bible, it teaches that it was Jesus, that part of the Trinity, that created the universe. So you can see that they're out to destroy Christianity. Then in Magnum Opus, you can read, or Legenda, whatever book, I've got, it's in my book, I've forgotten right now which book it was in. But Albert Pike wrote that in the 30th degree, you can learn, quote, the true purpose, end quote, of Masonry. So I went to the 30th degree ritual in Magnum Opus. You can read it. Anyone can read it. It's available. And in there, the Mason takes a sword in his hand and vows to destroy Christianity, period. That's it. So that means that is the true purpose of Masonry. Now, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, Doug Stan, that's got to be concealed. Why? Because the most, if, I don't know what percentage of the Masons are Christians, but if there's a Christian who's in there thinking it's a Christian organization and he takes a sword to destroy Christianity, he's going to quit.
And
he's not going to stick around.
Do they actually say you're going to destroy Christianity?
No, that's what I'm saying. They can't say it directly, but it's very clear that's what they mean.
Well, what do they actually say?
It's they show three... Well, first of all, they're opposed all the way through from about the fourth degree on. They talk about the destructive forces of tyranny, which is power over the individual. They don't want any controls over the individual. As I pointed out, they want true liberty. Liberty is defined as unrestricted action. You are free to do whatever you want to do. Freedom means acting responsibly. The old canard which says, your right to swing your arm ends with my nose. Well, that's freedom. It's not liberty. Liberty means your right to swing your arm is unlimited.
In other words, you can hit my nose if you want to. Hey, hold on. Let me get a caller from Nevada. Let's go to Leto. Hi, Leto. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, sir.
Have a question for our guest or a comment?
I was listening to your comment on Christianity.
Right.
And it's true. What this man says is true. They're out to destroy it. And I'm a Catholic, and they have certainly done quite a job through Vatican II.
They certainly did, right? Didn't they? I shouldn't laugh, because, of course, we got problems in the Protestant Church, too. But
yeah,
it's really tragic what they've done to the Catholic Church. They've infiltrated it. They've infiltrated the seminars. They've encouraged homosexuality and pedophilia. And you know, it must be terribly disconcerting to be a Catholic and see these things happening to a church that you love and respect and you use as the foundation of your faith.
Well, absolutely true. And as a matter of fact, you know, there is evidence. I mean, one of my dear friends is a Father DeLallo, who did a study on this, whose apartments in the, you know, in London were broken into in the course of his study, when tying all this in with the very people we're talking about. Okay, the Masons and so on. And, you know, it's interesting and maybe providential that I just finished Edmund Burke's Reflection on the French Revolution.
Yeah, that's a great work.
And here's what he has to say about what these people are doing with regard to Christianity. And he says this. It says, the literary cabal had some years ago formed something like a regular plan for the destruction of the Christian religion.
Hold that right there. We're going to have to take a quick break here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have, of course, our guest this evening, Ralph Epperson. We have Leno calling from Nevada, who is actually reading from a book, a very old book. It was written back at the time of the French Revolution by the man who was the counterpart of Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was in France writing about how wonderful the revolution was. Edmund Burke was in Great Britain, a member of Parliament, warning against, of course, what the French Revolution was and everything it represented. Let him go right ahead. Why don't you start at the beginning there?
Sure, absolutely. He says this, and I'm quoting from Edmund Burke. He says, the literary cabal had some years ago formed something like a regular plan for the destruction of the Christian religion. The object they pursued with a degree of zeal which hitherto had been discovered only in the propagators of some system of piety. They were possessed with a spirit of proselytism in the most fanatical degree, unquote. And these people basically are after, and let me tell you, they're after the complete elimination of Christianity from the hearts, minds, history, and complete and culture of all humanity.
Well, I think that, Ralph, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's what their, in fact, as I said, that's their true purpose. And
yeah.
Let me show you how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dole ran for the presidency against Bill Clinton, I think it was, in 1992,
mm-hmm.
and millions of Christians voted for Bob Dole because they thought he was a Christian.
Yeah.
Bob Dole is a 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah.
I've got that documented in their own literature. I don't make these statements up without documentation. So we know that he's a 33rd.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Bob Dole took a vow to destroy Christianity, and millions of Christians voted for him. And I want to know why.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. This has been written about extensively, and not by conspiracy nuts, as we're called, or people are called these days, but by people of respectable letters. For instance, there is a Frenchman, not just Edmund Burke here. And nobody can argue his credentials. He discovered this cabal. He discovered this motivation within this group of people long ago. And also, there's a Frenchman by the name of DuPontcy that everybody ought to read, ought to at least try to find his books on this subject. He goes into a great deal of detail on the ethnic relationships of these cabals. Okay, and also and the ethnic relationship of Freemasonry, the various nation states that were involved in fighting this thing, and the literature that was produced around, well, for instance, Romania.
Hold that thought right there.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, we have a young man named Leno calling from Nevada, who is very, very concerned about what's happening, you know, as far as the attack on Christianity, and he feels that there is a conscious effort to destroy Christianity, and there is. What's happening to the Christian church is not accidental, it is intentional, it is planned. And behind that, at the first tier, we have a number of secret societies. We have organizations like, the Masons, like the Rosicrucians, like the Theosophists, and certainly the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and all of these are anti-Christian organizations, the Trilateral Commission. But what everybody has missed is behind those organizations are powerful spiritual and supernatural organizations and forces that are intent upon destroying Christianity. And they do have their organizations in our society, organizations like the Lucius Trust, the New Group of World Servers. And these organizations are openly in contact, and admittedly in contact, with the beings from the other dimension and with the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. This is what has really been missed by so many of these discussions. But go ahead, Leno. We'll let you wrap up what you wanted to say.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that so many in this country and elsewhere are put off by is the idea that because one discovers a conspiracy, the label that goes along with that discovery is such that the lives of those who do the discovery are destroyed by an accusation of being nuts. Okay? And the thing is that I've told you briefly what happened to my friend, a priest, Father DeLillo, his apartment's being broken into when he got too close, began to publish. He was intimidated into not publishing anymore, that sort of thing. And let me tell you something else. Who is going to accuse a pope or a series of popes of being conspiracy nuts when, for the first time we have, in the middle of the 17th century, Pope Clement XII publishing the nuisance that these people were making within the societies that this pope was governing in Europe at the time. He basically described these societies, what they were doing, and the complaints against these societies through their secretiveness and so on, which were basically at the time they were doing things within their various jurisdictions. In other words, at the various local levels that were causing complaint, which gave rise to the initial condemnations of these secret societies from Pope Clement the 12th on through to Pope Pius the 12th.
Well, unfortunately, we don't hear much about it
It takes a special study. You have to actually engage, go on to the Vatican website, download these encyclicals, and actually read them. They basically are very interesting in that they reveal to you the structure of the society that existed at the time, the temper of the time, and what was being done to these societies at the time. The popes were very accurate at the time. These were very accurate. They were writing to an audience at that time who basically, even princes were complaining about this sort of thing, and they basically investigated it and were very specific with regard to the kind of activities that these people were engaged with.
Well, unfortunately, Leno, today the media is controlled, our universities are controlled, the foundations are controlled, and even though everything you're saying is true and everything that Ralph is saying is true, it's very difficult to get this information out. On the other hand, we do our best with the tools that God gives us, and we have to rely upon Him.
Well,
that's all we can do.
One of the things that Edmund Burke talked about was a natural prejudice born within the culture that automatically protects against such things, and that a healthful prejudice has been destroyed, which is a reason you're never going to get through to anybody.
Well, our job is to do the best we can.
Right.
You just keep doing the best you can. Hey, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for having me on the air. And may I add, you know, when I go to my rosary, I'll certainly pray for you.
Okay.
And I would also ask that those Catholics who are listening and remember what Our Lady said at Fatima with regard to what was going to happen to Europe, what was going to happen to the papacy, and so on, if her words were not heeded, that the spread of these things would just simply snowball into just an absolute bloody melee all over the world.
And
message wasn't heard, and the destruction of faith, of course, would be absolutely assured as people continue to disobey God. And I'm telling you that the only way out of this is to turn to God completely in prayer and sacrifice and penance.
God bless you. Thanks very much for calling. Lord.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, fine. That was then. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And there is a conspiracy against all Christianity. And there's an intense hatred of certainly of the Catholic faith, of the Protestant faith, and of the various branches of the Protestant faith today. So when you understand there's a conspiracy against God, so and against morality and against righteousness, then, of course, it's very easy to understand so much of what's going on today. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Yes, sir. Well, to point out one more thing, I'd like to just mention this. John Kennedy was the first Catholic president of the United States, and back in 1314 or so, 1370, something like that, the Masons killed Jacques de Molay. They burned him at the stake. Jacques de Molay was the leader of the Knights Templar at that time. The Knights Templar later went on to create the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which is the group that's actively involved in the United States. And so the Mason takes an act of vengeance an act of vengeance against the Catholics and their murder of their leader. And so sure enough, when they had a chance to kill President Kennedy, they were right smack dab in the middle of it. And that was part of their retribution for the murder of Jacques de Molay back around 1300.
That's right, and people have forgotten that it was Jacques de Molay was arrested on Friday the 13th of October 1307. It was some months later when he was burned at the stake, because of course he was a Satanist. But they can't admit that. And why was he a Satanist? Because he believed that Lucifer was the real God and the God we worship is a second-rate God. Well, let's go to Mike, who's certainly as a comment and a question. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope you don't think I'm being disagreeable. Just a couple of small points. Babylon, ancient Babylon, is actually 33 miles south of the 33rd parallel.
All right, 33 miles south of the 33rd parallel. Well, all right, well...
It's not exactly on the 33rd. I just looked it up on the satellite.
Well, yeah, if I may, just very quickly, the 33rd starts at like 32 and a half and goes to 33 and a half. So you can't just say it's a straight line. Even Charleston, South Carolina, Dallas, Nagasaki, et cetera, they're not directly underneath it because it's like rounding off the numbers, so they call it the 33rd.
All right.
Yeah, they're close.
Good point. Okay.
Dealey Plaza is about 16 miles south, and Nagasaki is about 18 miles south.
All right, fine. Well, that would fit in there, too, of Ralph's description. So we won't subtract anything at all because of that. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's about it. Great
all
show,
right,
though.
Fine.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much. Okay, that was Mike, of course. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And
Dr. Stan, while we're talking about Nagasaki, let's talk about that. That town was not a military target. I've never seen a picture of soldiers burned to death because of the radiation. I've never seen tanks all melted. I've seen battleships, never seen battleships or airplanes or submarines. It was a civilian target. It was a town but a high percentage of those people were Christians. And they were, that's why Harry Truman selected that town to start the nuclear age, I guess, by dropping atomic bombs on a nation that was trying to surrender, and Truman knew that. 4 months after Truman killed those Christians in Nagasaki, and then later on in Hiroshima, he was elevated to the 33rd degree. That's in the Masonic literature.
You're absolutely right, and it's a great, great tragedy, and I think that the average individual has no realization that, as Ralph said, The Japanese government had been trying for 6 months to surrender. If anybody would like the documentation, we have that from the Chicago Tribune, an article that was actually published on the, I think, the 15th of August of that 1945. And actually, we got this clipping from the Chicago Tribune. They gave us the permission to reproduce it. Well, let's see who we have on the line here. Somebody has asked a question. How high a degree did George Washington achieve in masonry? Do you know that?
Yes. They did not have the 33rd degree until 1801. So he was a master mason, a third degree mason, the highest degree attainable up until 1801 when they decided to create the 33rd.
Well, now, wait a minute. They have the master. That was just the third degree of masonry, wasn't it?
That's correct. Master mason.
All right. All right. But then, of course, they went from 33 to 32nd, and then of course eventually the 33rd degree.
Yes, I believe that's when they created 4 through 32, and then obviously the 33rd.
All right, well, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, specifically wondering at what degree could and should the initiate know that he has committed himself to Satan.
All right, well, what degree do you think the initiate should recognize the fact that there's something wrong in what he's into and that this is satanic? When should he pick this up? Because most Masons have no idea. I mean, they think that's so ridiculous. Why, they would, most of them would certainly be offended if we were to tell them this was a satanic religion.
That's correct. Here's how you can know, and the answer to that question is at the 19th degree. Let's take it step by step.
Wow.
When the person joins the Masons, he goes to what they call the Blue Lodge. Blue like the color. Blue. Blue Lodge. It consists of 3 degrees, 3 rituals that the man goes through that he has no preparation for. Now, you could argue, well, that, you know, the rituals are available, and they are, so he might very well have read it, but he's not urged to know anything at all about what he's going through. But there's some very important things that happen to him, and I'll make it very brief. In the first degree, I'm going to call him the vice president, the number two man in the lodge, brings the initiate, the new guy going through, to the president, and the president asks the vice president, what do you seek for this initiate? And he says, light, L-I-G-H-T, light. And then in the second degree, it's repeated, and he says, further light. And then in the third degree, it's more light. Now, at the end of the third degree, the Mason is told that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. And that's the end of it. Now, notice, you don't learn the true knowledge of deity in the Bible. You don't learn it in your church or your synagogue. You learn it in the Masonic Lodge. Now, I don't know, half of the Masons do not go beyond the third degree, so they don't know. They've been introduced to the subject, but they don't know. Then when you go on, when you get the book entitled Morals and Dogma, or used to be given the book Morals and Dogma, in the 19th degree you read this quote, Lucifer the light bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. Now here's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed, as Pike says over and over and over again, you are to think and ponder and reflect on what you just learned. They can't say it directly. It's a secret. They've given you hints, and that's as far as they go. So what you are to do is make a connection between three separate statements. Number one, you ask for light, more light, and further light. Then you learn that light is the true knowledge of deity. And then in the third degree, in the 19th degree, you learn that Lucifer is the light bearer. And you are, on your own, supposed to connect those three things to show that Lucifer is the God of this universe, the true knowledge of deity. Now, as I said, and you know this as well, Duck Stan, and the Mason knows it, they can't say it directly. If they said it directly, 90% of the men would get out of there. They don't want to belong to a group that, presumably, belongs to a group that worships Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But that's the truth. One more thing. The Mason God, the Masonic God, inside the lodges and the rituals, is referred to as the great architect of the universe. Now, architects don't build anything. They don't create, let's say it that way. They draw plans for the builder, who also does not create out of nothing. He takes wood, you know, makes a 2x4 out of it, or a panel or something, and he takes a stone and cuts it into bricks or blocks. He makes dirt and cuts it into bricks, etc. He takes wire and copper, etc. In other words, he takes existing materials to build. He doesn't create anything. And that's further evidence that the God of the Masonic Lodge is not the creator God. They call him an architect. Architects don't create out of nothing. They draw plans for those to create out of existing materials. You still there?
That was great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I think one other thing you might mention is the name of their god, which is Yah-Baal-Oh, which of course is a combination of Yahweh, Baal, and Osiris. And of course, Baal is the devil.
That's correct.
How do you pronounce that?
Jabalon, that's the best I can do.
Jabalon, okay, fine. So they basically, and then of course they always tell the Mason that when he, of course, dies, he's going to go to the great, stand before the great white throne of judgment. Well, the great white throne of judgment is not the not the place where Christians go. That is the judgment of the damned. So, but the Mason is never told these things. This is the thing. He's got to figure it out for his own. And when he figures it out, then, of course, many of them are so excited to realize that this is where the real power is. It is in the worship of Lucifer. That's what it's all about. And that's where the power is. But, of course, if you access that power, you do so at the risk of eternal damnation.
I would, if I may, Dr. Stan, I'd like to mention my third book called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. It was the first one that I know of ever written to prove from their own literature, from their own rituals, anyone can get them. I'm not a Mason, never been a Mason, never asked to be a Mason, But I got their rituals. It's in magnum opus. You can read it yourself, and you can see that the Mason takes a vow to destroy Christianity. And I would urge your...
We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up the program.
Okay.
Okay, Ralph, go ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, thank you. Well, I was just going to say, my third book is entitled Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity, and it clearly documents word-for-word page citations to show you that the Mason takes a sword in his hand at the 30th degree and takes a vow to destroy Christianity. And people like Bob Dole and Barry Goldwater and Jack Kemp and Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt and you name it, Henry Wallace as vice president, many of these men, in fact, all of those men that I just mentioned were members of the Masonic Lodge, including Barry Goldwater, the former senator from Arizona, the man that ran for the presidency in 1964. So these men had all taken a vow to destroy Christianity, and we all think the Masons are good groups and good men, and when you're a Mason, we should respect them and admire them, and that's just, it just shows you how they've gotten away with this all these years.
Well, it's unfortunate, and there are a lot of good men have been trapped. Jack, you still there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I'm enjoying this immensely, and I do intend to get that book. Are you going to handle that book?
Yeah, we have that, but we have all of Ralph's books, his The Unseen Hand, The New World Order, and Masonry, the Plot Against Christianity.
Well, God bless you both. It's been very enlightening tonight.
Good night. Thanks very much for the call, Jack. Okay, fine. Well, our guest this evening has been Ralph Epperson. Ralph, why don't you go ahead and get your webpage out and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. You have been very gracious to carry my three books and sell them. And so if you want to buy the book, get it from Dr. Stan. He gets them from me, but that's fine. I appreciate the willingness of Dr. Stan to carry them. I have a website if you want to look at some of the other material I've got. It's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, and then there's a dash, Ralph-Epperson with two P's, E as in Edward, P-P-E-R-S-O-N.com. Ralph-Epperson.com. Go there and browse and see what you think. I've got a new DVD out to mention on the website. You can get that as well if you wish to know more about what I've been talking about.
Well, Ralph's always got fascinating information. He was gracious enough to come on at the last minute, so I did not have to do the entire hour by myself. We always have a good time anyway. Ralph, thanks very much for coming out at short notice. And,
my pleasure.
And I think we got some people thinking out there. We got a fair number of calls, and I think that we probably could have gotten a lot more, you know, if we'd opened a little bit earlier. But anyway, God bless you. We'll talk to you later, and these are exciting times we live in, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. We're in big trouble.
I'll tell you what, if we didn't know the Lord, it would sure be discouraging.
Yes, I agree with that. Amen. That's the ultimate answer. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest, Ralph Epperson. And if you'd like to get to him, www.ralph-epperson.com. That's ralph-epperson.com. And Ralph is a good man. He's got excellent material. And his three books, Masonry, The Plot Against Civilization, Christianity, The New World Order, The Unseen Hand, all excellent sources of information. And if you'd like to know more about them, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to, of course, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and receive our monthly newsletter and either our four best tapes or four best CDs of the month. Why 1-800-544-8927. We carry a number of books on Masonry, Behind the Lodge Door, The Unholy Alliance, and then, of course, a couple of books by Bill Snevlin on Masonry, and then those by Ralph Epperson. And certainly we have a DVD, Masonry, Friend or Foe, and my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. We go into Masonry quite a bit, and of course the fact that where you can find in the Mason's own writings that this is frankly Luciferian. But remember, Masonry is simply one of the organizations that the Osipists are out there. organized in 1875 by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. The Theosophical Society is the parent organization for the New Age, which dominates so much of what's going on today, and is simply a rehashing of the old Gnostic religion and Rosicrucian religions of times past. And of course, once you understand how this all fits together, and you can go to Roslyn Chapel over there in Scotland and begin to see, of course, they're engraved in stone, the evidence of all the things we're talking about. Certainly, those of you who read the Ron Brown's the Da Vinci Code, remember, of course, Roslyn Chapel, if you saw the film. We also, of course, have the film that's put out by our good friend Chris Pinto, who went to Roslyn Chapel, and there in his video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, you'll see Roslyn Chapel, completed in 1492, with all of the occult symbols there of the ancient mystery religions and the Gnostics and the Rosicrucians that make up the foundation for the religion, unfortunately, that is replacing Christianity in the United States today. What we need, of course, is for people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We need, of course, to begin stressing people need to get back to the fundamentals of Christianity. Read the book of John. What did Christ claim about himself? Read the Gospel of John, one of the three original Gospels, and you'll find that Christ professed to be God. For I am the way and the truth and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me. Understand his claims. Get down on your knees and ask if they're true. And I think that you'll come to that realization that Christianity is the true religion, and of course this can transform your life forever. I know when I made my decision for the Lord and asked him to come into my life changed, and your life can change simply with a simple prayer. Lord, I can't manage it on my own. I don't understand everything, but I do know and I do believe that you are who you claimed you are. Please come in and take over my life, and those simple words can transform your life. And if you'd like more information, of course, you can always contact us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. So until tomorrow night at the same time, we'll be back once again. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.